When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up?
Hola. Nick, welcome to the program. Random question. All right. Okay, let's go with this one. What would you say your favorite and least favorite book that you had to read in school? One you liked, one you hated.
Oh, man, to read school. I really did not care for Of Mice and Men.
I did not either.
I don't know if I had a favorite. I did take a couple of AP English classes where we got to read some cooler stuff. Like, so
did you read Lord of the Flies?
I did.
Okay, I didn't love the book, but of all the books we had to read, that was probably my favorite. And the truth is, no one in my class was reading it, and the teacher kind of got wind of this. We had, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks, whatever, to read the book. No one had made any progress, and the teacher goes, guys, look, this is Baltimore City. A bunch of boys crashed on an island, they start fighting. And that entire class, we dove into it. We were like, oh, you should have told us.
Sweet.
And we ended up reading the book, and everyone enjoyed it just for that reason.
Did you guys have Cliff Notes?
We had Cliff's Notes.
Did you use those?
Absolutely.
Depending on if I liked the book. If I didn't like the book, then I'm using them.
Yeah. I mean, that was my thing.
See, Ted, I think for me it was more the length of it. Dude, do I have time? Or do I want to invest the time in reading this big-ass book?
Because, like, what's the
word? Like, Beowulf is a big book.
It is, and boring. And
Canterbury Tales, big book.
And horrible. Old Man and the Sea, small book. I got through 3 pages. I'm like, I'm out. And to this day, I think the book sucks, right? It's just not a book I enjoy. Whatever. Lord of the Flies I read. My least favorite was, oh, God, what's the one from Shakespeare?
All of them? Oh, this is a comedy.
All of them, but I think, was it Macbeth? Yeah, Macbeth is the one that kept hammering home. And like, look, man, we get the plot. I understand. It's mildly interesting. I don't enjoy the process of reading this. I really don't. And was that supposed to be a comedy?
If you got to
tell someone it's a comedy, it's not funny.
Reason asked, what was your favorite and least favorite book? A survey of middle and high school instructors shows that the list of books most frequently taught in the classroom has not changed much at all since 1989. And all six of the same books are on both lists.
All right.
So here's the modern top 10. Coming in at number 10, Frankenstein.
I never read that.
I never did either.
Nope. Neither did I.
I don't want to say
I would probably know that Frankenstein is the doctor if I had read the book.
And the thing, my daughter, she's going to high school next year, so she has like that, the reading list of things coming up. Frankenstein's one of the books. So
cool.
I was jealous. I'm like, I would not mind reading that.
Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451 comes in at 9th. That was a great book.
Yeah.
And I only got to read that as I went to 8th grade twice, and I'd already done the other books.
What were the other books?
What did we read the year before? Maybe A Wrinkle in Time?
All right. Not bad.
Something else.
Okay.
But then when I got to DeMatha, they had like different classes. So everybody kind of goofed on us, but it was called Study Skills.
Yeah.
A lot of athletes, a lot of people with dyslexia.
Yeah.
But we would read like, you only had to read a few pages like per week.
Okay.
They wanted to make sure we read those books. So like we read like the sequel to Wrinkle in Time. We read Brian's Song, which you've never seen.
Oh, dude.
I had already seen the movie. I know how it ends. But, like, and look, I can show you on my Facebook later some of the size of these dudes I was in this class with. But just see that many giant dudes crying. It was one guy was like, Miss Karen, why'd you make us read this?
Hamlet is 8. Number 7 is Knight. I don't know if I know Knight.
With a K or an N?
An N.
Ah.
I really have no idea.
I've never heard of that book in my life.
I haven't either.
All right.
6 is To Kill a Mockingbird. I love that book.
Read it. You say that. What happened when you had to do your oral report?
I actually did read the book eventually.
Okay.
But you have to understand. At that point in time, I had a lot going on, right?
I really did.
I played sports, the whole deal.
Uh-huh.
I procrastinated. Lots of practices. But one thing I knew for a fact was that if you wanted to watch a really good movie based on a book, that was the one to watch. Because I saw that movie, because I was library AV, period. So I knew like what if a teacher was going to show a movie, that was typically one of them.
Yeah.
And people liked it, you know, that I knew. So I was like, you know what? I am just watching the movie.
Sure, sure.
And it's a great movie. It really is. I mean, but, you know, when you're doing an oral report, you don't cite the actor's name. So when I said, so Gregory Peck, and I'm like, oh no, the teacher looks at me. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm not sure if that, I'm not sure if that happened with 12 Angry Men or that one.
It
was one of the two.
Gregory Peck rattles a lot easier than Atticus Finch.
It does, you also just told the teacher, yes, I did not read that. Did you find out what Knight is?
I did. So Knight is a 1960 memoir by, it's either Elie or Eli Weissel, based on his Holocaust experiences with his father in the Nazi German concentration camps.
Five is of Mice and Men. Four is Macbeth. God. The Crucible. Three.
God.
We read The Crucible.
Any good?
I remember kind of liking that one.
I mean, the story is again, sometimes the story's intriguing. So the story of The Crucible, I don't mind, but the process of reading the book was a labor.
I mean, again, most of the books I liked ended up being because I either went to eighth grade twice or I was in that specific class.
Class, right.
Well, we kind of read books that were like past the required list.
Okay, I got you.
Great Gatsby, number two.
I never read that.
Nope, me neither. And Romeo and Juliet is number one.
Oh, God.
So... Now,
I was going to say, but like, what about like the Count of
Monte Cristo?
Yeah,
or like
Edgar Allan Poe's short stories.
Here's my question: why
it's a bang through those
out of the top 10? Why does Shakespeare show up so much? Like, what is it? I wish an English teacher would just explain. Like, look, man, you want kids to read? I get it. You want to improve their comprehension. You want to expand their mind. That is cool. That is fantastic. You got 10 books. You insist on putting Shakespeare on there, which I will never understand. But all right, fine. Just give them one and let them pick. Do you want to read Macbeth? Do you want to read Hamlet? Do you want to read Romeo and Juliet? It's the same crap over and over. But why does Shakespeare take up the biggest percentage of the top 10 books? Why can't we kids branch out and read other authors?
Right.
Like, what is the problem with
that? You guys read Kafka, The Metamorphosis?
I did not.
Yes.
Okay. I thought that was a great book.
Did you guys read The Inferno? Dante's Inferno?
Yes.
We read that, and then we had to write a chapter for it.
Okay. Oh.
And I remember my teacher was like, there's a lot of feces in your circle.
There was
a river of feces. There was a lot of feces.
What is,
you really focused in on the feces.
Hey, that's my hell.
What is better, the book or the hot dog? Dante's.
The hot dog.
The hot dog.
Yeah.
Don't they have a hot dog truck?
They do. I don't know. They do. Yeah. It's a hot dog.
Oh, you never had one?
No.
Oh, man. Okay.
So I like reading that. I like reading that book, though.
1989. Here's the top 10. That was today. So Romeo and Juliet, number one still.
God.
Followed by Macbeth.
Jesus.
The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Nice. 1989.
Oh, yeah. I read Huckleberry.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, if you like racism. Julius Caesar.
Got through that one quick.
Four.
They gonna keep saying it?
To Kill a Mockingbird. Five. Well, I mean, you know if you read it. Six, The Scarlet Letter. Seven, of Mice and Men. Hamlet. Eight, The Great Gatsby. Nine, and Lord of the Flies.
All right.
Was number 10.
And that ended in 89, you said? I graduated in 88.
Yeah, I mean, that was our era.
That was. So, again, why is Shakespeare so... There are so many books out there for kids to read, and they can have the message you're looking for, or whatever the F, right? There's a million books, but Shakespeare keeps coming up. And look, doesn't matter how old you are, you're always going to hear about Shakespeare. My kids are familiar with who Shakespeare was and or is. Just give them a book. Just read one. And just say all of his crap is about the same. One is about romance. This one's about a king. This one, it could be the Tempest. It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. And then it made us, so we had to read. I didn't have to read the Tempest. We were reading something else from Shakespeare. But my high school's drama club put on a performance of the Tempest. And as part of our requirement in English class, we had to go to watch them perform The Tempest. Mm. And this pissed me off in no short order. I was either in ninth or 10th grade. I don't remember. But I just thought, this is so unfair. It's a Friday night. I'm a teenager. Chances are, I'm not getting laid. I'm not doing anything, but it's Friday night. I do not want to be at school. So me and this guy, Matt Clark, we agree to go together, whatever. We sit down, and we knew most of the cast. And they started doing their thing. Now, I've since told my kids this story. My wife was not happy that I shared it. And I told them, if you guys do this, I will kill you. As your grandparents killed me for this. But those little popper, little hand things, looks like little wadded up paper. You throw them on the ground,
a little snap.
Yeah, a little snap thing. So it turns out that those things fit very well in a straw and that you can use them as a spitball. So we knew going in that this is going to be our thing. And look, looking back, I feel bad because these kids put in the effort to put on this production, but we didn't want to be there, right? And I'm a little a-hole, so me and Matt were sitting toward the back of the auditorium, and these things fly, man. So they're doing a performance, you snap on the stage, and they'd stop for 1 second because they're not trying to break character, but they don't know what it is. So they'd all kind of look down in an area, and those things leave very little evidence of having exploded. So we kept doing this, and not one after the other. We'd wait maybe every 2-3 minutes, and you hear these things pop. So now everyone in the auditorium is picking up that something is amiss, and obviously some of the students here are trying to wreck this thing, which we were doing outstanding job of doing that. Well, there's a teacher sitting about 2 rows in front of us, and I don't know how he pieced together that it was us. Now, he didn't say anything, okay, but the play is now going on. And I remember this teacher does like a complete 180 in his seat and just stares at us for about 10 seconds. And he's basically telling us, like, I know what you guys are doing. You need to stop. That's how I accepted this. It's the same thing when you're kind of effing up in a restaurant and your father would just give you a look across the table. It was understood. Whatever you're doing, just stop. And it won't go any further. So the teacher turns back around. But my buddy Matt now goes into panic mode. All right. Because he's like, oh, my God, we're going to get in trouble. That's why I never teamed up to do anything devious with him again. So to get rid of the evidence, he drops the remaining poppers on the floor. Well, now the play comes to a stop, the lights go up, and we're just sitting there. And this teacher, man, we got yanked out of there real quick. Well, the thing is, when they convey this to our parents, I mean, my mother was just, she was beside herself, right? And look, looking back, I understand why she was mad, and I took my lumps for it. But in my head the whole time, I'm like, I still think it was brilliant. And here's the worst part about BME. I still think it was a beautiful, wonderful prank. Now, I'm not saying pull it, but I'm just saying the fact that you can get the trajectory on these things and send them 15 feet away from where you are.
Dead aim.
People look where the sound comes from. So you look down there. When you look at a crowd of 400 people sitting in the auditorium, there's no way to piece together it was us. And like I said, we got through the first intermission. And we lit that thing up again the second time. That teacher figured it out somehow. Matt panicked, dropped them all on the floor at once. That's when the play came to an abrupt end. So the worst part about it was you go home, you get in trouble. It is what it is. I'm a teen. I'm going to be in trouble. But when I went to school that Monday, man, you would just see the kids that were in the play in the hall and just the looks they gave you. I mean, that's when you're like, you know, now I feel bad. Random, I knew I was in trouble. Random, now I actually feel bad. And one of the chicks was so hot, too. She had the lead in it. I had no chance. I don't think I had a chance before, but that guaranteed that I had no chance.